Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Angels are God's messengers, and Luke tells us that angels were instrumental in making Christ's birth known over the skies of Bethlehem. Royalty was coming into the world, a king who would live and die and then rise again to return in glory. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, A Flurry of Wings, Dr. Lutzer is bringing part two of a Christmas message on what angels celebrate. Join us now in Luke chapter 2.
For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. That's the good message. And then you'll notice there appears with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. They all begin to chime in and praise God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Notice this angelic choir participating in this event on earth. Will you remember that there is nothing of greater interest to heaven than the sorrows and joys that people experience here? And we may think that something is happening on earth that is inconsequential, but all of heaven is taking note. You've heard me say that Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer used to say that a secret sin is an open scandal in heaven. That which we do secretly is known to the angels, it is known to demons, it is known to God. It is a big deal. And even though this event seemed to be so silent and so unannounced, the angels know about it because they know that the focal point of all of God's prophecies have pointed towards it. And the angels, as we mentioned last time, they saw the great distance from which God had come. They saw the humility of God, and they were amazed. Amazed at God's humility and at man's pride. And so we find that the angels now are rejoicing together in the gift of Jesus Christ to fallen sinners. You know, this is a very interesting account because it reminds us of the fact that angels can speak. Sometimes we wonder how it is. We think that angels belong to some kind of a spiritual realm somewhere, and they could never have contact with human beings, or they could never communicate with human beings. Here, they communicate in a language that the shepherds can understand. They can take the form of humans and speak like humans. Satan did that too with Jesus Christ, actually quoting verses of Scripture, of all things. And I suppose that the angels never have to learn German or French or English. They know all of these intuitively, and they can sing and speak in any language that is known upon the face of the earth. How wonderful and gifted they are. And so the angels who saw Jesus Christ's creation of the world, they saw Jehovah take the worlds and throw them into existence. And the angels which were there during the fall of man, they will now see the agony and the poverty of Christ. And they are not ashamed to tell shepherds and to associate with shepherds the good news. And they sing this wondrous song. Well, very briefly, we've looked at the audience, which is the shepherds. We've looked at the singers, who are the angels. What about the song that they are singing? Glory to God in the highest. That, of course, is the focal point of everything, is it not? In fact, the Bible teaches us that God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and you and I exist not that we might be happy, not that life might even treat us well, though we would all like to have life treat us well. It is we exist for the glory of God. We exist that we might contribute to the wonder of who he is. And if you're wondering what the purpose of life is, that's what it is. Isn't it tragic indeed for some people to think that the purpose of life is to go through to make as much money as you possibly can, so that you can have a wonderful retirement, and then suddenly you discover that it is cut short by disease, by accident, by some kind of death, and it is all futile. The answer is we exist to the glory of God. And every drop of water testifies to the glory of God. Every flower magnifies God. But no matter how much nature might sing, it must become silent. When God becomes flesh, it must no longer sing, for now there is a song that cannot be comprehended. It is so great and so wonderful, there is no song like the song of the incarnation. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And then notice it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That phrase, incidentally, is capable of a number of different interpretations. The King James, you remember, says goodwill towards men. My translation, which I just read, says peace among men with whom he is pleased. The NIV translates it peace to men on whom his favor rests. I like that translation. Peace upon those upon whom God's favor rests. You see, it wasn't just simply peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Have some good luck. I wish you the best. Do you realize that not everybody is blessed because of the coming of Christ? Not everybody benefits because of the coming of Christ. And certainly there has been no peace on earth since Jesus Christ has come. In fact, Simeon said regarding Jesus that this child is set for the rise and the fall of many in Israel. Jesus Christ, on the part of some, he will exalt them. On the part of others, he will be their judge and humiliate them. It depends upon those upon whom his favor rests. Those who respond to the Son are given eternal life, but those who do not respond to the Son are not given eternal life, but the wrath of God abides on them. Well, we pick up the rest of the story in verse 15. It says, it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying one to another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statements which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. There are several things that we could contemplate. One is, I've often thought about the question of whether or not anybody believed the shepherds when they left Bethlehem. The Bible says that they told everyone and others wondered at what was told them. I wonder whether anybody believed. But you know, to the shepherds, it didn't make any difference because they had seen the angels and they had seen exactly what the angels predicted. They had seen the baby in the manger and that's all that mattered. It didn't faze them, though others may not have believed. They were convinced. They had seen the Messiah, the Christ. Another question I think that we would like to find out someday, maybe in heaven, because the Bible is silent on it. I've often wondered whether these shepherds maybe met Jesus later on. 30 years later, when Jesus would begin his public ministry, it's possible that some of these shepherds were still alive, and they may have thought to themselves, this is the one whose birth we had the privilege of heralding to all those who were in our path. We lived at the time that we saw the Messiah, the King of hosts, God in the flesh, and now he has been revealed. It may well be that they had seen him or saw him at a later date. Well, after the music dies away in the hills of Bethlehem, after the angels go on back into heaven, because as soon as their duty is done, they disappear, we read that the shepherds want to, in effect, reenact the glory and the wonder that they had seen in verse 20. They went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. And that's your responsibility and mine today. It is to make sure that we share with everyone else the glory and the wonder of Christ, not Jesus tacked on to other religions, not Jesus who is simply a part of some other kind of a religious system, but a Christ who stands alone. Because the gap between Jesus Christ and all other religious options is infinite and unbridgeable. When I arrived in my office today, there was a letter from someone, I don't know, it was unsigned, but excoriating the Christian church for celebrating Christmas. It says that Christmas Day is pagan and it should not be celebrated. Well, one of the things that we can do to make Christmas Day special is to recognize that this is the season and this is the day that provides for us a bridge to the world, to tell them the true meaning of who Christ is. Well, let's ask the question now, what is it that angels celebrate? Angels celebrate Jesus Christ. Angels celebrate the glory of God. They are focused in on salvation, as we have learned. The Bible says regarding salvation that these are the things that they desire to look into. But there's something else that angels celebrate. One day Jesus was being criticized for spending too much time with tax gatherers and sinners. Tax gatherers were hated in those days. Because we think that the IRS may not always be as kind as it should be, but that's nothing in comparison to the kind of gouging that tax gatherers did. And as for sinners, this may refer to prostitutes, those who were immoral, whatever the phrase may mean. And Jesus was being criticized by religious people for spending too much time with people like this. In order to defend himself, Jesus told three stories. I'll remind you only of the first two. He said, let's suppose that you have 100 sheep and one of them is lost, and then you go and you find that sheep. When you bring it back, aren't you going to rejoice? In fact, will it not even give you more joy than the 99 who didn't need to be found? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course you're going to have to listen next time to see how the story ends. But I do want to remind you, and I'll let you know ahead of time, it says that angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Can you imagine that? Here's this celestial celebration from one end of heaven to another because somebody on earth receives Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've never believed in Jesus, if you are not saved, and you want to believe and trust, and God has worked in your heart, and you know who you are as I'm speaking, you can make the angels in heaven rejoice today by coming and receiving Christ as Savior. Admit your need, admit your sinfulness, and that you cannot save yourself. Acknowledge Him to be the only mediator between us and God, the one whom God sent to redeem us. Let Him be your Savior today.
On this edition of Running to Win, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part two of What Angels Celebrate, the third in a series of messages on A Flurry of Wings, A Study of Angels. Next time, our Christmas series concludes. Our series on A Flurry of Wings can be yours on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.